Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Amen. I'm going to talk about this picture right here in just a minute. And I want to talk about the four corners of this picture that we see as we consider refugees and ministry among refugees. I want to consider four perspectives from a biblical biblical basis for understanding things like this right here. I'm really happy to be here. I must confess, I've never been here before. I considered coming here when I was thinking about seminary. So this is my first time at this campus. I'm really happy to be here. I've never spoken to quite so many people. I usually speak to small groups, work with refugees. So I'm a little nervous as well. And I'm looking forward to these next 3 days with you, and 4 days when we include Thursday. I originally come from Lynchburg, Virginia. And I never imagined that I would be working cross-culturally. And God used a series of events to call me into the work that I'm doing. And in 1985, after I graduated, I went to Virginia Tech, and I graduated from there. I moved to Austria, where I actually took Bibles into Eastern Europe at that time. And so in order to actually talk with the people that we were taking Bibles to in the dark, incognito, I actually then in the weekends would go and visit in the refugee camps where they were actually East Europeans. At that time, refugees were politically East and West, and so these were from the communist bloc there. And so we would go and visit in the camps and see, actually meet the people that we were bringing Bibles to and medicine and stuff like that. And so it was during that time that I met my colleague, Tom Albinson, whom I'm working with now. And so we began working together, and Tom has helped to build up a refugee ministry and international teams. And 8 years ago, he formed the International Association for Refugees, and that's who I'm working with as well now. We're a small organization. In fact, there are three of us who will be joining me here, and they'll be coming in today. Is anyone here from IFR yet? Sharon, or? I don't think they're here yet. Sharon is working in Atlanta. She's originally from the Philippines. So you'll get to meet these folks, and we encourage you, do come up and meet us. We're looking forward to meeting you. And so I was working with refugees ever since that time. I'm based in France, we worked first with refugees in Austria, and we're helping to work with churches, helping them to engage in this ministry, because the church is God's instrument for reaching refugees and working and ministering with refugees. And so we say that we are working together with church to support and to help refugees survive and recover from forced displacement. And so you think of refugee ministry as really aid, you know, bringing and rescuing people from boats like this and helping them in refugee camps. And that's one aspect of it. It's important work that large NGOs can do and government groups can do. But where we feel the church can really plug in the best is with the long-term need for recovery and to bring hope. And that largely happens through relationship. And the church has it in our DNA. Relationship and recovery and hope and these kinds of things. And so that's what we do as an organization. We work together with the church to help churches, to help refugees survive and recover from forced displacement. So I want to read a scripture that I want to base what I'm saying this morning on. And it comes from God's mission. It's one of the fundamental texts for understanding God's mission in the world. It's from Luke chapter 4. You have a scripture you can read along with me. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 30. And I'm going to pick it up at verse 18, where Jesus picks up the scroll and reads that important scripture from Isaiah. So listen to the word of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of the whole synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to him, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And all who spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me the proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself,' what we've heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well." And picking up further on in verse 26, "But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel's day, in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over the land, and Elijah sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." And when they heard these things, all the synagogue were filled with wrath, and those rose up and drove him out of the town to kill him. So imagine this boat right here. I met a refugee once named Agnes. She said, "I was on a boat like this with about 25 people. Half of us were Muslims and half were Christians. And they knew that I prayed, and so that I would pray and sing. So they called on me to pray and sing for them whenever the journey got hard. When they were more afraid, they'd call on me to pray more. In fact, she said, they even put me in the front of the boat and would hold me up so that they all could hear me as I would pray and sing. And so she said, we became stranded at sea. And it must have happened in the rescue, our boat began to sink. And often that's the case, that's the most dangerous time. The weight will shift or the boats will collide and they'll crack, they'll become swamped. And she said, "My boat began to sink. And I got stuck in the front where I was praying and singing. And it pulled me down underwater." And she said, "As everything turned black and dark, I knew this was my last moment. I was going to die." And she said, "I don't remember much more than that. I think I passed out. But when the water, when I called out, when this happened, I called out the name Jesus. And with that, the water must have rushed into my mouth, and it revived me in such a way that I looked up, I opened my eyes, and I saw above a light, and I swam to that light. And because of that, I know that God's mighty arm is able to save." Now, this is what Agnes told me. And she said, "But you know, this story that I've told you, what happened to me is really fear. Really, it's a horrible thing. I was facing death. But you know, the hardest thing for refugees is not facing the trials or the death or the prejudice or the discrimination. Those are not the hardest things for refugees." She said, "The hardest thing for us is knowing what's going to happen next in our life, and is knowing what is God going to do with me." And in a sense, Agnes's story for me is a picture as well of God's mission, of God's purpose, of God's plan, of what God is doing with refugees around the world. Agnes's story gives us a picture of this, because she's asking that question: how is God going to carry on with me in my life as a result of the crises that I've gone through, as a result of what I'm facing, as a result of the decisions I'm facing, and all this hard stuff? How is God going to carry on? And this for me, gives us a picture like we have here of what refugees face. And we want to look at this question particularly from a biblical perspective and think about what is the Bible saying? What can we bring with us into these places, into these relationships with refugees that gives us a grounding, gives us a framework to minister within. And so I consider it like a masterpiece in a great museum. You might walk in and you see it on the wall. And every time you look at this picture, you see something new about it. Or you see some shade or some aspects that's slightly different. And you look at it and you, again, it's as if you're looking at it for the first time. And you realize there are things about that picture that reflect for you in your own life. True for me as well. And so this is what I want to do this morning as we think about this question of a biblical perspective for this refugee ministry that we do. And so the first corner of this is creation. The first perspective that we want to take with us and hold on to is God's creation. And this comes right out of the text here as well. In fact, it's the context before. Because if you're familiar with this passage, just before this, Jesus has been in the wilderness, right? And he's faced Satan in the wilderness. And Satan has tempted him to kind of reverse all that he's created. You know, God is in authority and God provides, and Satan is tempting Jesus to give up all of that and give that authority and all of that to Satan. And in every instance, we can see where Jesus, at least three times, he says, it is written, God alone provides, God is over, God has the authority. And these, for me, recall God, our creator. God is our provider. God is in charge. God has authority. And so creation is a really important background that we bring with us into our ministry. A biblical, to me, it's the backstory. It's the backstory. In Jesus' case, he has just created, he has just defeated what he will defeat again on the cross, right? He defeated the enemy. He defeated Satan in the wilderness. And he draws back, he goes all the way back to his cross. To his father, to the fact that this is who God is and what God has created, and you will not reverse this order. So our ministry is rooted in this created order. And refugees have this backstory as well. Because when you talk about creation and refer to this among refugees, you are referring to things like human dignity and worth and value beyond all measure. And these come from the fact that this person and everyone here has been created in the image of God. And so their backstory as well is rooted in creation. I was where we work and live in northern France. Maybe you've seen these pictures of the tents in Calais and the refugees in the rough living. And they've just disbanded those tents back in November. And they dispersed the refugees all across the country, and now they're slowly coming back. But what the refugees are doing, the reason they're in places like that, number one, the government does not have enough places for the refugees. Number two, they're trying to get to another country and don't want to live, actually, and stay in France, and so they're trying to go to the UK, or they're living in flux. They're living in just a very difficult situation. And I was visiting among some of these refugees once, and a man said to me that, you know, I have managed to come all the way from my country across Europe without a map. And I come here, and I've arrived here in northern France, and it's like I've hit a wall. I can't cross the channel, but I also have hit a wall in my humanity, because I look around me and I feel like I am treated like dirt, and that the dogs in France are treated better than I'm treated. And he said, all I want is to be recognized as a human being. He said, and I've heard this from many refugees over the years, I am a human being also. And that's his backstory. And so it's important when we minister to the refugees that we take this with us. Well, I have three more corners to talk about, but I see that the time is over. We have to end, help me, in 10 minutes. Okay, we're going to go through this real fast. The second corner is presence. And that's what happens when God creates us. He is with us, and we are with refugees. And we have this sense that God is present with us. In fact, I call it a providential presence of God. And you see this throughout the scriptures. When you look back at the scriptures, it's full of refugees. Adam and Eve were the first refugees forced out of the Garden of Eden. And then there was every character all the way through the scriptures, it seems, practically. Abraham, Joseph was sold into slavery. The entire people of Israel were freed from Egypt. And then you have the prophets and the exiles. And then you have Jesus and Joseph. And you have the early church who was scattered. The scriptures are full of refugee stories. David himself was often wandering and fleeing and hiding in caves. 25% of the Psalms refer to refugee themes, finding safety, protection, refuge, peace, safety. And through this, through these experiences, God is present with us, and he's present with refugees. And I call it God's providential presence in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our crises. As often, it's in the midst of those times that we look at that and we question and we'll actually say, where is God in this? God seems to be lost. We feel lost. And when you combine those two things together, you have a huge crisis. And God, however, uses these experiences and uses this journey that refugees are on. And so in 2015, they estimate 1.5 million refugees, 1.3, 1.4 refugees entered into Europe. And if you Google refugee conversion Europe, I just did that recently, you'll see a number of articles written about the number of conversions. And I was just speaking with some Arab pastors who have also immigrated and are in Germany now, and they were saying it's true. Many Muslims are converting. And this Arab pastor was saying he estimates that perhaps as much as 10% of these people who've come into Europe are converting, have become Christian. And so God is using this journey that these people are on. The third corner also follows out of God being present with us. When my father is present with me, my identity is kind of based in that. And so the third corner is identity, God's identity, our identity that we have in Christ. It's an incredibly important corner. And it comes from being present with people, from God being present with us. Out of this, we bring an identity. God gives us an identity. It's the key, in a sense, it's the key to Jesus at the end of Matthew 25 saying, I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was thirsty. I was hungry. He identified with that hunger. He became that present with that person. And then you gave me something to eat. So we've got this issue of God being present with us and ministry happening through that. And when I was in Calais, again, recently, there was another refugee. He actually walked up to me and said, let me tell you my story. And he said, when I was 8 years old, my village was bombed and destroyed. And I went away to my uncle in another country, and after some years, he sent me away to make it on my own, and I made my way as a minor to Europe, and I came to France, and I lived as an orphan, basically, in France until I was 18, at which time they said, you don't have any rights to stay here anymore, and so you have to leave. And he said, I didn't know what to do, so I went to the UK, and then I learned English there, and they actually saw that I didn't have papers in the UK, so they deported me back, and the policy in France is that you get deported back to your original place. And so that they came from in Europe, so he went back to Italy, which is where they could trace him back to in Europe. And then he made his way back into the UK two more times, and I was then meeting him on his third journey back into the UK. And he said to me, I have no idea who I am anymore. He said, nobody wants me. And he said, I can't even remember my village anymore. And when you look on the map, it's not there. And I'm beginning to lose all memory of my language. He said, I don't know who I am anymore. And so to work with refugees, we have to consider this issue of identity. And I think it comes out of creation. It comes out of the fact that God is present with us. That shapes us, and that shapes our identity. We find our identity in Christ. And finally, the fourth corner is purpose. Now, as I've been going through this, if I'd had time, I would have wanted to point out each of these, why I picked this passage. Because Jesus identified with the scriptures. He identifies with the oppressed. And after he spoke this passage, the members of his community there said, who is this son? They were wrestling with his identity as well. And well, the fourth corner is the purpose as well, God's purpose. And this is also in this text as well, because Jesus refers to what Elijah and Elisha have done. And he makes the point, and I didn't get this at first when I read this part, but the people there understood it perfectly well. Jesus made the point to say, God sent these prophets to other people besides Israel. God sent these prophets to other people. God's purpose has always been to welcome the nations, to welcome others. And so God's kingdom includes others. It is not an exclusive kingdom, but it is a welcoming kingdom that welcomes the nations. And so this is the fourth corner that we remember as we minister to refugees. Well, that is what I wanted to share with you this morning. I'd love to share another story, but I'll be back tomorrow, and we can talk some more then. I'd like to pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have drawn a picture for us, and you know what our lives look like. You know what the lives of these people here on the screen look like. And Lord, we thank you that you are in control, and you have been in control since creation, that you are present with us in the midst of crisis, and that through your presence you shape our identity and you give us purpose. So Jesus, we thank you for that, and we want to carry that into this week as we go and consider this important theme. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.